Corinthians chapter 7, verse 24 to 40. It's in your service sheet and is also on that page 956 in the Bible. Okay. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Now, concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about the worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in the body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about the worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit and not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to save your own and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes, let him marry. It's no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then, he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from the marriage will do even better. As wife is bound to the husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whoever she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is. And I think I too have the Spirit of God.
Emma, thank you so much for reading. Good morning to you all, and a very warm welcome to all of us here this morning. So fantastic to see so many faces here today. My name is Johnny, and I look after the youth and the children here at Grace Church. It's great to be here today. And we've just heard, haven't we, an amazing declaration. Joel and Rumbi, they would love to bring up their girls to know the Lord Jesus. And that's fantastic, and we are so, so thankful for that. We're especially thankful because I imagine, that this was an easy decision for Joel and Rumbi to make. We know that they love the Lord Jesus so much and that they would love their girls to come to be brought up to know the Lord Jesus as well. So I imagine it was an easy decision for them to make to be here this morning. What a joy. And some decisions are easy to make, aren't they? But some decisions are harder to make. Some which might seem like big decisions. What job do we do? Where do we live? What are we going to do with our lives? Or even for me, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? And perhaps we've had times when we've felt stuck, unable to move, sort of paralyzed between decisions, thinking, don't I? This decision sort of engulfs all of our thoughts and our energy and our prayer lives. Maybe we felt like we should wait, do nothing until we have some sort of sudden clarity, some sharp realization, yes, that's what I should do. Maybe we felt like this before. I guess that's why there is so much online, isn't there? So many people saying how to make decisions. So finally, we can get out of this rut, get on with our lives, get on with things that we want to be doing, and not just stuck making decisions forever. Now, today's passage brings up a decision to make. And as decisions go, it's a bigger one. It's when is a good time to get married? Or specifically on our sheets, when might it be better not to marry? This might seem strangely niche for this Sunday morning. We've just had a wonderful baptism. Why are we talking about marriage right now? What's with that? What's going on? Seems a bit random. Well, to explain, at Grace Church Greenwich, what we do is we work through books of the Bible, passage by passage. We don't skip out the hard bits or the strange bits, and we just see what God is saying to us this week. And so this week, God wants to talk to us about marriage. And I know that for all of us, whoever we are, whether we're considering marriage or whether we're not considering marriage, maybe we're already married, God definitely has something to say to us this morning to help us to live for him in all of our lives. So we don't need to look online for life hacks, quick fixes. Today's passage will help us make all kinds of decisions that we face in all of life. And so this is my prayer for us all this morning, that we'd see that choosing to obey Jesus, that is most significant. And beyond that, the Lord gives us great freedom to make decisions. May that give us real freedom this morning. We'll see this as we go through. Do keep your Bibles or your passages open. Let's see. So when might it be better not to marry? This letter, Corinthians, is it's actually written to a messed up church. We have this picture for the series. 2,000 years ago in Corinth, there was a messed up church. And Paul the Apostle is writing to sort them out. Because the Corinthians, well, their answer to this question would be this. When might it be better not to marry? The Corinthians might say, always. It's always better not to marry, they might say. We saw this last week with Samuel in chapter 7. You can see this if you have your Bibles open. The Corinthians, they say, it is good. It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. So the Corinthians, they're saying something like this. It's good to avoid sex. Therefore, it's good to avoid marriage. To be a proper Christian, a keen, committed Christian, well, that means staying single. But last week we heard with Samuel, didn't we, that Paul says, no, you've got it completely wrong. Sex isn't dirty or bad. Sex is good in marriage. In fact, that lines up with the whole rest of the Bible, where God designed sex for marriage, to populate, to be fruitful and multiply, to spread people who know the Lord Jesus across the whole world. So we can imagine being a single Christian in Corinth, having a decision crisis over this. What am I going to do? On one hand, I want to marry. A marriage is a good gift from God, God says. But on the other hand, people are saying that it's dirty, that it's best not to, better off cancelling the wedding. They're stuck. What do they do? Well, if you haven't guessed, this is wrong. A big red X on our handouts for this. This is not right. He's going to sort out the Corinthians, tell them what is actually going on. But he's going to do it in a surprising way. Not just a short little correction. Paul wants to completely reshape how the Corinthians even make decisions in the first place. God wants to do that for us too. Reshape, reform our worldview about how we even make decisions. Lining up with God's word is most significant. Then we have freedom. Let's see what Paul says. Let's start the passage. And verse 25, this is what Paul is saying. Let's go. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. So this is Paul's advice, not a command from the Lord Jesus. He didn't say anything about this. And Paul is saying that single people, might be surprising, single people might be better off staying single. Verse 27, he says this, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Do you see Paul's advice? If we're not married, now might be a good time to remain, to stay as we are. So on the surface, this might seem quite strange. It might seem that Paul is agreeing with the Corinthians. The Corinthians are saying they're banning marriage, don't marry, putting restraints on people. And Paul is saying now might not be a good time to marry. So what's going on here? What's the difference? Well, actually, their reasons underneath are completely opposite. They're completely different. The Corinthians, they're banning marriage for holiness reasons. They think they're wrong, that they're more spiritual, more elevated as Christians or something if they don't marry. But Paul's advice, and it's purely for practical reasons. It's purely practical because marrying isn't a sin, Paul says, verse 28. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry, this is it, will have worldly troubles. And I would spare you that. So being holy, we know this from Corinthians, and we've seen this wonderful letter about what it means to be a Christian. Being holy is a huge deal for Paul. We've had weeks and weeks of how significant it is that Jesus has died to take away our sin. He's given us new life by his resurrection. By trusting in him, we are completely cleansed from all of our sin to walk this new and holy life. Holiness is a big deal. But marrying or not marrying, Paul's saying, it's not to do with being holy or not holy. It's entirely practical. He says, if you do marry, you have not sinned. If a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. And yet those who marry will have worldly troubles. And I would spare you that. Isn't Paul so kind here? Married people will have worldly troubles, things to worry about, stresses. And Paul here, unlike the Corinthians, he's being incredibly, incredibly kind to us. He wants us to be free from stress. And that could well mean for us that is a good time to remain single. And this seems to be especially true for Paul's time. He says in verse 26, I think in view of the present distress. So remember, this is 2,000 years ago. And in Corinth at the time, he's saying there was a real distress, some sort of society crisis going on. And we have a few clues about this sort of later on in the letter. What's going on here? And Paul talks about a deadly disease in the church. We know at time from history and elsewhere, there's a great famine going on in the Bible. And Paul asks the Corinthians for money to help the famine. So there's real worry going on. And Christians and people like Paul are getting put in prison all the time for their faith. So disease and famine and persecution, life that time was particularly messy. And in that situation, Paul gives advice. It's kind advice. Now is a good time to consider staying single. So before we bring this over to today, it's worth thinking about why Paul is saying this, drilling down a bit into his reasons. We'll do that now. Paul's reasons. Firstly, it's on your sheet. Paul says the things of this world are passing away. They are passing away, verse 29. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they have none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. And this sounds incredibly dramatic, doesn't it? Like we should, as Christians, abandon everything. Families, jobs, leave it all behind. But we saw last week that's not the case. As Christians, we shouldn't run from our families and jobs. Being Christian means staying where we are in our families and jobs. We saw last week as well that being Christian doesn't mean we should flee, run away from marriage, our marriage. We saw this last week too. Being Christian means that we love our spouse. What Paul is saying is that the things of this world, this worldly things, are disappearing. They're passing away. So since Jesus has died and risen, he's promised to come back and bring a new creation. And we know one day he will. This world will pass away and he'll renew the world. The things of this world are going to disappear. And so as Christians, we live like it. For example, mourning in this list, or marrying, or dealing with this world. And as we are doing so, we remember one day all these things will disappear. They will pass away. Even marriage, this wonderful gift, is a gift for this world. In the new creation, we know that there will be no marriage when Jesus comes back. The things of this world are passing away. And that might mean that some of us might choose not to get married. We can imagine the reminders and being especially strong at the time of Corinth. Disease and famine, persecution, constant daily reminders on a level we don't even have in London. This world is passing away. There is a new world coming. In that crisis, they may well have wanted to remain single. So thinking about us then, I suppose, well, when it comes to see our families, Christmas, Easter, whatever, and our relatives ask us the question, when are you going to get married? When are you going to give us grandchildren? When are we going to have nephews and nieces to bounce on our knees? I mean, in a way, that's an understandable question to ask. Marriage, children, they're a good gift from the Lord. And when there are engagements, you celebrate, yes, praise the Lord, but they're things of this world, marriage and children. They're things which are passing away. So that's one reason. On top of that, secondly, Paul says getting married brings anxieties. Verse 32, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried man or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. Getting married brings anxieties. I mean, in the Corinth crisis, there's a huge amount to think about. The church is an unholy mess. Factions and carnage and disease, there's huge amounts already going on. Now imagine adding on top of all that a wife, husband, young children running around. Paul wants to be incredibly kind, and he is. He says, now might be a good time to remain single, be free from the anxieties. I imagine, I haven't asked Joel and Rumbi this, but I imagine I don't even need to know that getting married and having children surely has brought more things to think about. Worries, anxieties. This made their lives more complicated, I imagine. Sleepless nights, feeding and caring for babies. I imagine you're also feeding and caring for each other. I imagine even making it this morning on baptism day, this day of all days, was not straightforward. Getting everyone here was not a breeze. And as a church, we are committed to supporting you, Joel and Rumbi. Absolutely. Every step of the way. But even so, I imagine getting here on Sunday as a four, it's going to take extra hard work, extra discipline, week after week. We'll be praying for you. And we're here to help. Now, this is in Greenwich. Imagine now if we all lived somewhere with a lot more to think about. The Donbass region in Ukraine, the Middle East, pick a country. War and disease and famine. So much to think about. Life would be a lot less trouble without having little children crawling around. Getting married does bring anxieties, things to think about. So now might be a good time to remain as we are, single. Now, saying all this, it is incredibly important to think about what exactly is Paul saying? We were clear about how Paul's marriage advice is different from the Corinthians' command. And the Corinthians, they wanted to restrain people, put a noose around people's necks with extra non-Bible rules, things that Jesus doesn't even say. Paul's reasoning is the opposite. He is incredibly kind. Paul wants us to be free, verse 35. I say this for your own benefit. Listen to his tone. For your own benefit. Not to lay any restraints upon you, but to promote good order and secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul wants us to worry about things, not to worry about things that aren't ultimately significant. They're of this world. Paul wants us to think about, to spend our lives thinking about things that are ultimately significant. Obeying the Lord Jesus, listening to his words. And Jesus has died to take away our sin. He's risen to give us new life. He's made us temples of the Holy Spirit. He's given us words to obey. And that is hugely, hugely significant. The Corinthians need to grasp this. They need to spend their time thinking about this. Line up with Jesus' words, what he actually said. When it comes to marriage, that is ultimately secondary. You're free. Make the decision how you want. So today it is so important we get this right for at least two reasons. And firstly, because ironically, sadly, so sadly, these verses are used as a restraint. And this passage has been said, used in the past to say something like, well, today, keen Christians, true Christians, stay single. Or perhaps they delay marriage for as long as possible. And then if they have to, fine, get married. Okay. But that's just not what Paul is saying. If that were true, it would be sinful to marry, but it's not. We can be truly Christian whether we're married or single. It doesn't matter. Being married or not is of little importance compared with being a Christian, obeying Jesus. And secondly, it's important to get this right for those of us who do choose to be single. Some have used these verses in the past to say things like, there's only one good reason to be single, and this is it. It's to do huge amounts of church work. Some use these verses to say, well, okay, you can be single, but that means, this is the only valid reason, leading a grace group, teaching Sunday school, you have to be have the church over for lunch every single week. Do more. Outperform your married counterparts at church. That is the only reason, people say, for being single. That's just not what Paul is saying, is it? Doing ministry work in our free time, which we may well have more of if we're single, is a fantastic, a brilliant, wonderful thing. But Paul's advice is to avoid troubles in a troubling time, to avoid stresses that single people would just be Christian, devoted to the Lord. Being married or not is of little importance compared with being a Christian. That is what Paul is saying to us today. So Paul's specific application, if you want, you can delay the wedding. We can do what we want, verse 36. If anyone thinks he is not behaving properly towards his betrothed, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes and let them marry. It is no sin. We can do what we want. We can get married if we want to. Just to flag, there's different ways of translating this verse. I'll put another one on the sheet in italics. For example, some say, if she's getting beyond the usual age for marriage and he feels he should marry, it's the same point. If you want to get married, get married. It doesn't matter what the reason is. If you want to, get married. That's the command. Maybe we're here this morning thinking, well, actually, I don't think marriage is for me right now. And that's okay. Like verse 37 says, whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and is determined in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, delaying the marriage, he will do well. Brilliant. And for sure, if under no necessity, listen in Corinthians, don't force people into this, we can remain single. We can delay the wedding. Because lining up with God's word is what is most significant in this life. Other decisions, marriage, whatever, are truly secondary. This is exactly what the Corinthians need to think about. They're wasting their time and energy arguing over what God's word doesn't even say, all while ignoring the stuff that Jesus really did say. And their church, well, it's an unholy carnage. It's a mess. They need to realize this. Maybe we need to realize this too. And perhaps we're here this morning and we imagine that life is a little bit like we're living in a game show. We might know the game show where there are three doors, A, B, C, and behind one of the doors is an amazing prize. The problem is that the doors look essentially identical. The contestant has no idea which door to open. They might walk open the wrong door. That's funny. They might even, on a more extreme version of the game, I've seen they sort of drop their shoulder and they have to sort of run, smash a door down, and they bounce off and fall into sludge or whatever, and it's great amusement. We might imagine that life is a little bit like that, like a game show. But we are the contestant, and God is running the game, and he is watching us. And he's messing with us. He knows, we might think, which door is the right door, but he's not going to tell us, at least not clearly. We're trying to figure out which door is which, and we don't really know. And then when we bounce off the wrong door, it's funny, we might think. And if that is true, if God really is messing with us, playing tricks on us, then that is an awful thing. And can I encourage us, can I say so clearly, that is not what God is like at all. This is not what this passage is teaching us. What it's saying is this. As long as we're obeying Jesus' words, that is the main thing. And we can choose whichever door seems sensible for us. Marriage, job, where to live, whatever seems sensible, that is okay. Whichever one we want. And when we open the door, that is the correct door. If we're obeying Jesus' words, what he's revealed to us in his Bible, that is the correct door. And it may well lead to hard places. We may well think, Lord, why have you led me down this door? But we can trust our God is a good heavenly Father, and he's led us into good places for our good. We are free to make other decisions. God gives us that freedom. And that is a wonderful thing. So I have a little checklist here on your sheets. A Christian's decision checklist. Three things we can ask us when we encounter any decision in this world. Is it in line with God's word? Is it obeying what Jesus has actually said? What God has actually said in his word? Then we ask, is it sensible? Then we ask, do we want to do it? It's very simple. And it's very, very freeing. And I think this is actually what has helped me personally most as a Christian. When deciding what country to live in, when deciding what job I should do, God doesn't want me to wait and feel paralyzed until I feel sort of something funny in my tummy or I have a sudden moment of clarity before I do anything. Or the second one may just be a me thing, but for me, I often even find the small decisions difficult. I run a youth group and I'm often buying snacks, crisps, chocolate, sweets, whatever for the teenagers. I rock up into Tesco's, what do I see? A whole aisle, a huge aisle full of choices. What am I going to do? Well, I look at my checklist. It'd be good for me to remember this. Is it in line with God's word? Sweets, chocolate, I'm assuming yes. Is it sensible? Assuming I don't clear the whole aisle off and break the church budget on buying a ton of chocolate and sweets. Yeah, it's sensible. Which one do I want to buy? Just buy something. Get out of there. I don't need to be paralyzed in Tesco for half an hour deciding what to buy. Instead, I can focus on the things that Jesus actually told me to do. Loving my wife. Being kind to my baby. So it's worth reflecting on our decisions that we're facing in our life and whether we're obeying Jesus before considering our freedom to make the choice in other areas of life. The Corinthians were agonizing over the wrong thing while ignoring Jesus completely. And it might be a little bit like what some of us might face today. For example, a student agonizing, nail-biting over which career choice to go for, all by the same time sleeping with his girlfriend. Wrong priorities. And parents stressing out, agonizing over GCSEs and music exams for their children, but they haven't spoken about Jesus at home for weeks. A worker, let's say at Grace Groups, asking for prayer about whether to take a job promotion or not, decision. But they get drunk every night on a Thursday with their colleagues. Life decisions can seem huge. They can seem so big. But the most significant decision we'll ever make is not deciding our job, not even a house move, or even when we're going to get married. The biggest decision we make every day. And that's when we choose to obey Jesus' words. We, like the Corinthians, we need to think hardest about that first. We line up with God's word. And then we are free. We are free to make other decisions. I'd like to introduce this to someone who I think understood this rightly. Her name is Elizabeth Elliot. She died about 10 years ago. A fantastic, a wonderful woman. She's written so much, and there's so much there worth reading. She said this about decisions. Does it make sense to pray for guidance about the future if we're not obeying the things in the thing that lies before us today? Now, Elizabeth, she made huge, big decisions on moving country, learning languages, raising a child. But her focus every day was on what is most important, obeying Jesus' words. And today, as we obey Jesus, we may well listen to Paul's advice and think, yes, okay, I agree. I don't think that marriage is right for me right now. And that's okay. We are free in the Lord to decide that. And if not, if we want to get married, that's okay too. The main thing is that we trust in the Lord. We're forgiven of our sin. We have new life in him. So we give great thanks this morning for Joel and Rumbi. It's fantastic to see this baptism, to see how they've decided to line up with God's word, to raise the girls, to know and love the Lord Jesus. What a joy. We pray that with the rest of us, we'd all remember lining up with God's word is the main thing. And we are free. Be free to make other decisions. God is kind. We're going to have a moment to think about what we've just heard from this passage, and then we'll have time for prayers.